thing.
No, I didn't. It was...
What do you need or want from us in this immediate future?
If any.
Right.
Well, I'm a bit speechless. I didn't realize we were meeting about me. But, you know, I think it's important for AMI to do some strategic thinking around what is going to be AMI's role in the monetary reform movement. Is AMI going to play an organizing, is it going to be movement building organization? Or is it going to play more of an intellectual role as more of a think tank? I think both are important functions and roles in this space right now. I think that when it comes to money reform, we need the intellectual work that can push back against the other very well-financed, both classical economic positions and the sort of heterodox positions that are coming out, like NNT and stuff like that. And I think that it's important for AMI to get clarity around what her role is going to be. Is it going to be trying to develop a mass movement, or is it going to be play a role in as a think tank and playing a role in socializing these ideas with other key influences around the country. I might have a thought around where AMI might be best suited in that space, and it's principally the latter, that I think AMI can play a critical role in creating a series of virtual and physical convenings with think tanks, policy voices, economists, to begin to socialize these ideas with others who want to listen to us. But you know, that's just my thought. You all know Stephen and have known Stephen much longer than I knew him and have a better sense of his long-term vision for AMI's role. And so I think taking some time to think strategically about what AMI's role is going to be in this space.
That was one of the things at our meeting we were discussing, was that, you know, some of our priorities, and that the first thing we wanted to do was, because we knew we were going to meet with you, is, you know, find out from you what you needed from us and what other, there's a whole bunch of questions that we developed, but based on, we were talking about strategic
reflected on this, I'm really shocked that I'm the agenda.
Well, we're
20 minutes.
I'm not really equipped and prepared to reflect on this. We have to think strategically about what's the next phase. This is a long, we have to be in this for the long haul. I think that we need to work on trying to identify the prospect of getting a fellowship for a person who can focus and specialize on this kind of work. Someone like Jamie, if it's not Jamie himself, there's a range of possibilities and opportunities out there to kind of get, you know, a position. We've got to get a chair, a position for a money reformer at some institute. Because when we start pushing these ideas, the other side is just going to, you know, come being attacked.
Yeah.
And so, you know, my thought is that AMI can play a key role in socializing these ideas with a range of other key influencers who might then take the baton, right, to the next level, to their organizations, to their, you know, local communities.
Well, that's sort of happening now. Greg is connected to these other conferences, and it's our first time here in Mass, and we're now being a part of a large, you know, 10 other organizations. We may come up with a united front or a united platform on Sunday afternoon.
More than 10.
Yeah, okay, sorry. That was 8 conferences and, I don't know, 20-some organizations.
The beginning six. Conclusion of this whole convention is to have something called the People's Movement Center. It's a place and space where people who have brought up ideas and are focused, not just in an office, but from an appearance of prospects or ways of moving forward, that they can throw into the collective process of motion and use that as a springboard to see where people are at going forward. So that's why I really just grant that all of you carry.
I think that Gar Al's Perelwitz said something last night that I think was important. There's a great opportunity right now to expand the echo chamber around money reform, around AMI's vision for money reform. I know, and those of you who read Lost Science of Money sort of know that Stephen seemed to be a little not very enthusiastic about the prospect of classically trained economists to embrace the ideas. However, I think that there's an opportunity. And I also think that moving this movement forward is going to require us over time to begin to cultivate a small cohort. This is my thought of subject matter experts in the field, classically trained economists, who might be willing to do a deep dive on these issues. It can help our campaign effort go a long way if over the next year to 18 months, we can find, you know, 3 to 5 economists around the country who are diverse in their backgrounds, but yet classically trained economists who are willing to say, and I have over the past 6 months, spent some time with some leading African-American economists, meeting with them one-on-one, talking to them about the monetary reform position put forward by AMI and others. And, you know, I can see progress in getting people willing to be open to go to the next step of learning more, because when I meet with people like Steny Hoyer, Maxine Waters, Elijah Cummings, Jim Clyburn, all of these people, they all have a series of economic gatekeepers that they listen to. So they will all say something like, Reverend, this sounds interesting. I never thought about where the money is, where it comes from. And if you can talk to Bill Spriggs and you can get him on board, or if you can talk to Valerie Wilson and you can talk to him. And so having the ability to get a few other co-signers who are subject matter experts in the field, who are trained economists, who are willing to say, you know what, there's something to what these folks are saying, I think helps to move the ball down the road. It keeps people from saying, these are just a group of fringe, it's just a fringe preacher out here. He's reading the Bible. He doesn't know about money and economics. You know, these are just a group of fringe people here with some, you know, crazy ideas. So I think that could help. And so thinking strategically about what's the next step for AMI. And I think there are, you know, some people who are sitting down to talk about. And I think that there are ways to get to people. I think I said on one of the conference calls, on the email group, that we have to figure out how to utilize technology for creating virtual conversations with people who might be interested in listening to us, and relying on people to come into a physical space and pay money to fly into a city for a physical conference, which is yesterday's technology for disseminating information. And that's yesterday's technology. You have to drive into a city to get information. Well, now we don't have to do that. We have a great opportunity to create teleconferences, web-based conferences, different. You all have, what are these platforms for socializing these ideas with a tier of specialists in the space, with faith leaders, with people, Black Lives Matter activists, with people who have influence, with the women, Tamika Mallory and the other women who led that women's march in D.C. Some, I've been meaning to get with Tamika for some time, but, you know, I think that, you know, if it's not, if AMI's role at this point, given where we are, is not reaching the masses, maybe there's a mid-tier, maybe there's a tier of people we can focus on trying to get to. Influencers in various quarters, right? And figuring out how to reach them and to expose them to these ideas. And then, what's their marching order? This is the really, the area where I think I'm challenged right now when I talk to pastors and faith leaders. I've had several gatherings with pastors and Black brothers, and they get it. They're like, oh, wow, I get it. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. But they want to know when the luncheon is over. Now, Delman, what do you want us to do? When we go back to Jacksonville, when we go back to Winston-Salem, like, what do we do?
Well, one thing is exactly what you are within their congregations. It could be very diverse congregations. There may be some people with that kind of
true. But when you when you're right.
Yeah.
When you're just meeting with a group though, of leaders who are just hearing these notions for the first time, we've got to give them something to some teaching tool, some toolkit, something that says, okay, take this 5-page position paper. Have them watch this video, you know, that's really, you can make a nice, if kids can make these videos on Instagram, you know, you can make a nice little, you know, watch this 20-minute video, 4-minute video, and start having sessions at your church, your civic or, you know, we have to equip people with the tools. So that, you know, we can tell people what we want you to do right now is just begin to socialize these ideas with people in your sphere. So I think thinking strategically on a range of levels, getting someone positioned. I'm thinking, I mentioned James hearing me say it for the first time. I'm meeting with foundations now to think about applying for a fellowship for him. I've missed a certain deadline. But you know, there are a range of opportunities with a range of foundations where we need to figure out how we can get a chair for someone focused on this. Man, it's just a range of
stuff.
It's been a lot of email threads. facilities. media team to help.
But that needs to be part of the strategic plan. You know, instead of just saying, great, thank you very much, when do we set the date? You know, no, that's it. We should buy it.
What are you going to do? I don't know.
Yeah, what are you going to do?
What do you mean by your media team?
Can you talk louder?
What do I mean about our media team?
Yeah, you said you have a media.
Our church, we have a media director and an IT director. You know, people who manage the equipment.
Yeah, manage the
equipment. Yeah.
Okay, and wait a minute. I just want to jump out of the process of getting started on our media program. And we have to strategize about whether or not that's what we need. First thing, maybe the only thing I wrote back to you was to make that offer. Thank you very much. I promised that I would take my bonded offer. So this is what I would like to propose to you in terms of some media quality. Perhaps Paul, who lives nearby, and myself, who lives sufficiently nearby, could come and visit the facility so that we can know what is there, what's available. So that it goes to a next step. I would like to see us try to move along to the next step of what we need to do, you know, and how we're going to do it. And in order to do that, I think that
I think a visit is fine, but I do think you need to be thoughtful of what you're saying. This is not necessarily a YouTube video. I can make a YouTube video on this phone. So if you're going to take the time to use any one production facilities, you need to think strongly and strategically about what you're saying.
Yeah, when we do that.
Right.
Okay. When I say we do that, I'm saying that.
I'm not talking about this stuff. Dude, I'm just going to say before you start doing anything, let's think about what it is you're trying to do.
I do want to say, Joe, that I certainly you and anyone is welcome to come see our facility. And to worship with us, by the way. people can come to see our facility. You don't have to come visit. I mean, you can get a virtual tour of our space and we can connect you with our people without going through this great space. I do think that the strategizing is key because you cannot just start making videos. There's a lot that's very important. We have to go into thinking about what is the branding of the videos, who are going to be the face of the videos. Because we want to, what's the audience? I mean, you know, so there's a range of tactics that I've kind of ticked off. We need to figure out how to get a paid fellowship for someone like James who can make that possible. We're figuring out a mid-tier strategy for beginning to socialize these ideas with influencers around the country. How often do we have these teleconferences for a volunteer team of people? Because we all have other things that we're trying to and have to do. I know I do.
Yeah.
You know, and so I'm very much the emotion of the moment can cause us to say, let's have a video conference every Thursday at 5 o'clock. And then Lucille, 3 months down the road, we're backing out. We have to really think about building our strategy to last. A kind of quarterly opportunity for us, and we spend time for 3 months inviting key influencers around the country to a teleconference or a video conference. I mean, we talk about a few strategies, creating the teaching materials. I think this is really key. Before you launch, you have to do in-reach before outreach. Having that toolkit so when people come to that, just like people in this session today, when they hear you talk about something, they want to know, how do I connect?
And
what's the strategy that you want us to do? I almost think before, you know, the planning is very key and critical in thinking about and I don't think that 15 people need to be in the room to play. That's my view. Mm-hmm. I'm allergic to meetings. I think three people kind of putting together an initial skeleton you know, and then beginning to kind of socialize that with others to kind of comment on feedback, you know, but I think the planning is just key. We have a great opportunity, and I think the fact that we're all here today really says a lot about, when you, for me, when I see the email exchange and how detailed everyone is. No, I mean, it really shows that folks are really invested in this. This is really a life and death issue. People are losing their lives because of the money system. The environment is suffering. The economy is suffering.
You might appreciate this analogy. I was thinking of the civil rights movement in Highlander, Tennessee, of where, you know, Rosa Parks spent time and others, and that this is sort of a Highlander movement for the monetary revolution that needs to come, or abolition.
Next year is the 50th anniversary of poor people. And the move to men is so many opportunities. Again, thinking which ones make sense that connect with our ability and capability. You know, that you just can't. That's not what those do.
I also want to say something a bit heretical. Now, you all will have to, whenever you all have given me this form to talk, so I'm going to talk. Yeah.
This is your time.
We got more questions, so we got a list of them.
We are all on board with what the MEAD Act proposes. But the average person is not there yet. The average specialist, policy expert, economist assumes that banks are intermediaries for depositors.
Yeah, Paul Krugman, New York Times. He's going through a learning curve too.
So there are a series of foundational assumptions that inform the MEAD Act. But if we don't build a shared base of knowledge from which people in a variety of camps to operate from, it's not gonna happen. People need it, you know. And so I find that for me, pushing the MEAD Act, I would not start here. And this is a part of, I think, the strategic plan. I think thinking about strategically, how do we get people to the point of being open to saying, oh wow, money should be different. This is why I'm actually a part of this effort I'm working on is a colloquy on banking and the money system. I'm calling it the mechanics of modern money, not modern money mechanics. It's a colloquy that I'm having at my church on October 31st. That morning it's going to have bankers, someone from the Fed, someone from Treasury, someone from the National Bankers Association, American Bankers Association.
Yeah, we were wondering if we might be able to be observers there.
People are invited to observe. And we'll probably be streaming as well. But there are a series of five questions that I have given them. Namely things like when banks extend the mortgage, where does the money come from? When the Fed credits the reserve accounts of member banks, where do the reserves come from? You know, just a series of kind of foundational questions.
Right, right.
Because what I want to do is to mainstream the knowledge. That's what I'm doing.
I know where you're going. Yeah. Are you really doing this on Halloween? There's got to be something.
I may have to be.
How ghoulish that is. Because it is a ghoulish
So that morning, we're going to have these banker types there. Because my goal is to mainstream the knowledge, to mainstream the assumption about money. Because if we can begin to develop a common basis and to mainstream the knowledge, then we can build on that. But if these assumptions sort of stay in a quarter, in the corner on the internet, in an awesome video that Joe Biden did, the number, which is how I am. If it stays underground in the creature from Jekyll Island, or some website somewhere, then this enables people to dismiss what we're trying to do. And I know that bankers are never going to get ultimately on board with our end goal. But in terms of establishing, well, they may not change, but in terms of establishing a common understanding for how things work now, let's do it. That afternoon is going to be an interfaith symposium or user, as I mentioned earlier. But I think the strategy is key. Strategy is going to be key. And it's also going to be key for combating some of these other schools that are out here. TBI. Because like this guy yesterday, Rohan Gray, I went to his session and we all were in his session. I thought it was interesting that what he did was he engaged in an ad hominem attack on the NEED Act by focusing on Dennis Kucinich.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Kucinich. He completely dismissed the substance of money reform by saying no one's going to support a bill presented by a former Michael Sanders, right? Now, I have gotten this response before from types in D.C., political types in D.C. who have said, if you are out here promoting the NEED Act, which died in subcommittee and things of this nature, you guys are going to have to think more strategically about, what your goal is, what your strategy is. But in any respect, I don't know. I just think strategy is key. I also think that it's going to be helpful for us to think about what it's actually going to take to get the NEED Act or whatever the next NEED Act.
What's I can think of is what, the civil rights movement came before civil rights legislation.
Yeah.
So you have to have the movement first for everybody to have. So education, basically, you've got to educate
Cotton,
baseline.
Dorothy Cotton, which is one of the unsung heroes of the civil rights movement, who always focused on these little teachings and education around the movement, is one of the things people don't really talk about. But if, in order for the NEED Act or whatever recension of it to be passed, it has to pass in Congress. If all of the politicians are owned by bankers, we've got to think about, and I don't know, are there complementary campaigns or issues? I'm not proposing this, I'm just noting this. Issues like getting money out of politics, because you gotta have independent politicians who are gonna be willing to go in that, to cast that vote in favor of.
But even to do that, you need a move.
Yeah. The only thing that trumps money is people.
Yeah.
That's
power as well.
And I don't mean Trump in that sense, but that's the only thing that trumps money.
My dad said, you have two things that count in this world besides love.
We're going to have to develop a language because we've talked about this before. These things that we say, they turn around on us. So we're going to have to develop a better way of presenting this stuff forward, framing it in a better, political way. You know, there's a political way of speaking that you have to say things so that people will.
Are you saying that maybe we should consider the NEED Act model legislation rather than branding it? as HR 2900, because people ask for a blueprint.
I'm very sensitive to being a new person. No, really. I'm sensitive to AMI being an organization that has existed for some time. You know, kind of coming in and changing the dynamic. That I don't want to do that. Mm-hmm. I don't want to be disrespectful to Stephen and anyone else who came before me and perhaps before some of you. So I don't want to be seen in that light. I think the need act, we all know, is ultimately the spirit of the kind of reform and legislation that we need. But going around saying, me meeting with Stan Hoyer and saying, I want you to reintroduce the need act.
We can simply say we need this type of legislation. But to me, my main thing is that...
Stan Hoyer?
No. I think the most important thing is that you have to give people a baseline educational mindset before you even get to that point. Because if you go from monetary reform 101 straight to the need act, people really haven't had time to absorb what it really means. And so that's what I always find. You have to teach people what monetary reform is, how important it is on a local, national, global scale, before you really get into the details of language, what that enabling legislation looks like. I don't think there's anything wrong with it, but you know, like you said, it's going to be difficult just to get that particular thing. It's going to get, even if it did, it's going to be changed. They probably wouldn't call it that, you know? So, you know, I think you have to prioritize and like you said earlier, keep your eye on the ball of monetary reform is what's important. Let's educate people on monetary reform as a goal. We can still have legislation. We have it. What would that legislation look like? Here it is right here. I was trying to teach you about monetary, but since you asked.
That's kind of what we've learned from our experience here, is that once people have monetary reform, they start asking for where's the need at, where's the legislation, where's something I can push, where's something I can, that's solid, ready to go. And we had it, which was very nice. Agrees, you know, it's a model of the legislation. Whoever does it, they're going to put their name on it, you know, or their stamp on it.
That table. I need to learn more about that stuff before I feel out of position on it. But it seems like that may be one area to partner more seriously.
Your template that you were talking about then, where you're having this meeting with the bankers and other experts in their field that they call themselves. So your template is you're sending out these questions that you know the answer to get them prepared. So I'm thinking in terms of, you know, if she's meeting with her legislators or whatever her group is, would that be something, a model that we would then use kind of to get control of? Not just thinking about the legislation that's on the table at the moment, but also bringing in the money issue.
It could be a model because when you meet with politicians, they believe that banks own deposits.
Mm-hmm.
I think everybody does. Madison Waters, and that's what her first thing, when I meet with Janet Yellen, what do you want me to say to her? She's like, if I want a little interest in my money, to the bank and loan it out. Their whole perspective on how the banking money system works is wrong. And so I'm just trying to mainstream the assumptions for them so that once I begin, to engage them later, they'll be able to see mainstream economic force. I think one of the most interesting videos online is Bernanke talking about where the Fed gets reserves. He's in a lecture at Columbia, I believe, and I think he's with Scott Pelley on 60 Minutes. But the lecture at Columbia, where he says, it's just a keystroke. It's just a digital entry into it. He has this lecture. Very interesting that he really puts it all right there. And mainstreaming those kind of notions and assumptions, I think, are very important. So I think there are a range of tactics. I think strategy is going to be key.
The problem with that is he thinks it's a good thing. They brag about that.
Well, I think he also thinks that it's going to be a keystroke by somebody, so it might as well be the
Fed. That's right.
If the federal government does it, it's still a keystroke either way. So I don't think he sees another alternative. It's like somebody's got a keystroke, and it might as well be the Fed.
And we've been saying we don't have a problem with the fiat keystroke. We just believe that the beneficiary of that fiat.
But he's not saying that it's a debt keystroke. He just says it's a keystroke. So,
The issue is whose fingers are on the keys?
Who's benefiting from the keystroke?
Is it a public finger or private finger?
That's a good picture.
So the next question for Nike, would it be? So why are we offering over money if it's a keystroke? Why keystroke is some money.
The other thing I would say, Sue, is if there are 20 people in the circle, you probably have 30 ideas around what should be in a strategic plan. And I believe, based on my own experience, that when you're dealing with volunteers, focus is very key. It is much better to do a few things well than a lot of things. And we really have to think. We have to think the long haul. We have to think and be. The MEAD Act is not going to be passed 3 years.
Oh no!
We need a short game strategy. We need a mid game strategy, 5 to 8 years, and we need a long game strategy, 10.
If it doesn't happen, then yes. But if there's another crash tomorrow, then there could very well be a steep time for everybody that goes there. Because they used up all the money to get it all started. Because they've got 0% interest rates, they've got no growth, no real growth in the economy. And so if there's another crash, there's going to be a loss in people's equities. you know, and they're not going to be able to just do this over again. So to me, I'm standing right over there waiting for that to happen, and I want to throw the lead at it and say, hey, because we asked, let me be real honest.
So that could be part of the strategy.
I did two talks at our conferences where I said, the bankers are our friends, and where I said, the central bank is our friends. And there's no reason why any banker thinks that they're better off with this system that we have today, and it's so fragile, and it's going down. And the same with the central bank. Central bank, central bankers know there's something wrong. There's really pain in it. And we've got to do something about it. But they're not willing to really engage the economy. They're not.
Well,
but if it gets thrown on them by a crash, Then you got their turn. He's a central bank. He's saying overt money finance, the need act, and it's the need act in the sense of money creation.
But I think going back to how many people were standing around involved before we got civil rights next? We can't, 10 people are not going to, they will let it crash and burn before they let 10 people change the global monetary
system. What they do? What's my question? How do you put the fire out?
I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm just saying that he's right. It's not going to pass.
Doesn't Morgan Ricks give an answer?
You have to work on building momentum.
I hope.
Building a movement.
I think that what you suggest, I wish that would happen. I mean, I hope that does happen. Oh, there's a busy economic collapse, and the bankers propose public money.
Well, my dad said,
okay. Yeah, that would be
that
nice.
Would be great.
Yeah.
But if it doesn't,
if it, you're
money,
right.
Besides the two things, we vote for money. My dad said, think about that. That's the two ways that reform will come about. Either there's going to be a popular movement, and that movement is going to be popular, or there's going to be a crash, and it's going to be the monetary literati who come forward and say, you know what, we need to have a new system. My dad said that. And I see it moving more in that latter direction than I do in the
corner. But the only thing we can do, what can we do?
Body will come up with a system that benefits them or benefits the public.
The secondary system can have it. There is no alternative on their end. Well, that's why they're saying you can't do monetary policy. Monetary policy doesn't work. The central bankers are saying that. They're the people who are saying that they are monetary policy. Monetary policy means that they somehow do something to get banks to lend. That's what monetary policy is. So they're saying you can't rely on monetary policy. Think about that. Think about the fact that that's in order to solve the money problem. So to me, then they have to be reading the air turner and knowing about affordability finance and all the others who have gone before. And I always say, you know, there are some people in the back room at the Bank of International Settlements who are saying, look, next time this thing goes down, you better do something. And it's better out there than public money.
I can't tell you. Based on what your father said, either money or votes. Yeah. We're not controlling the money.
There you go.
Only then we can control is the votes. If we're not going to control the votes, then we might as well just sit back, mail out the need act, and wait for the crash.
Yeah.
So all we can do is try to build a movement through votes.
I would say that the people that are going to legislate this are going to be more responsive to those central banks around the world, and that includes ours, than they are to 100,000 of us or a million, to be honest. Because they're worried about the price.
Then we have to go back to a popular
money reform would be accomplished not by the people, but by the central bank.
I don't think that's.
But I think that's the only option. That's all. The only thing out there for the central bankers to do is what we're advocating.
Sure. Well. How did the dear Turner come to that conclusion? How did he come to overt money finance? With Ben Geisinger coming to our conferences and learning about monetary reform and teaching it to those guys. And
institutions.
Wait a minute. I understood that the power is not in the central bankers. It's in those Wall Street commercial multinational bankers.
That's the money power to make the money. Okay.
But they're the ones that are making decisions.
Well, if you
make the change.
So if the agency is in the central bankers, what's the role of
the people? The role of the people is to have a fire that says we know what's going on and we see what's going on and we see that it's the cause for all of our suffering, for all of our disparate existence, and to be able to get on the right side of it. Here it's like the greatest, how does the central bank? Because why? Because to tell you the truth, they still want to be the central bank. They still want to be
So why isn't it happening though?
It's not happening.
As I listen to you, Joe, it sounds like you're saying money reform is going to come from a top-down decision of the central bank and a bottom-up fire from people.
Okay.
So what I'm talking about is it's going to take long to plan, and I hope it doesn't take 4 years. But my point was, I think it's better for a coalition of volunteers to focus on a few strategies that are achievable. So let's say a team of 3 to 5 people get together and reflect on, hey, what can we do? We can put together a toolkit. We'll try to put together a toolkit over the next year that consists of a good position paper, 5 people. Simply put, Ms. Simply Put.
That's you.
What?
I said a good position paper called Simply Put. Toolkit that has a position paper, some kind of video, and you know, how can we get to mid-tier influencer? I don't know, whatever the strategy, but whatever it is, we need to think about achievable goals and focus on a few things rather than trying to do 10 or 15 over the next year.
What about James Galbraith or Paul Krugman? I know Paul would be. I've met with him once at Eastern Economic Association. He's sort of up there and loosey goosey. The Galbraith is sort of really solid.
More on the MMT side? He wrote the introduction to Moses and the forward to Moses' book.
And a good strategic plan requires training. Oftentimes it's hard for us to exhibit because we're so passionate about so many things. We want to serve.
Figured out a pipeline protection 100,000 people. without talking to them. If you get with the ladies who led the Women's March in D.C., this black woman, the Muslim woman, the Latino woman, and the group, the white women's groups, and came together. If you can get to people who have pockets of influence around the country over the next year, that's how I'm thinking about it. Black women.
Green
party. And really spending time figuring, we are going to make David Cobb. Is that his name?
Yeah.
We are going to get David Cobb over the next year and convert him on money. Because if he gets it, then maybe Jill gets it. Somebody else.
You know who he had? I'm in the Chicago Teachers Union, and we have Karen Lewis. She wrote the Chicago Teachers Union endorsement of the NEED Act, and she did it in a timely way for even Dennis to help him with his gerrymandered loss, but trying to keep him in. She ran for mayor. She knows the NEED Act. She would be maybe a key speaker. Yeah.
Ladies.
She got.
I don't think Joe was saying is that I don't know if anybody read Stevie's book, but I did. The history of monetary reform is that the bankers keep screwing up, but they keep saying insurance. And if you look back, especially the Bank of England when it started, they did terrible things and crushed the economy over and over again. They kept staying in charge. So they're very good at that. So I think when another crash comes, they're very good at deflecting blame. And I've been hearing some talk, and it looks like they're going to blame the governments of this other world, that the governments messed this up. And it's not going to be the central banks. It's going to be the governments caused this crash. And that's the angle I've been seeing the central banks kind of coming out. They're going to get it. They're going to blame it on something else. The bankers are going to take it. And then they're going to pull out some terrible system.
Which is why we need the fire from below.
People are also dealing with people from the banks and everything else and people promising. That's the key, but only certain people are going to be in power. This group, we're probably going to be more aware of each other than targeting our leaders. But to me, my main job is teaching out all around me. I know about monetary reform. Because in the end, a lot of people need to understand what monetary reform is. Because people will pay. If you do it top down and nobody on the ground, they will swear this is the Antichrist and something else crazy. Well, this is the New World Order, and that'll spread like that. So we have to have a base way of easily educating people, toolboxes, stuff like that, so that the common man can get this information exactly when they want it. So when they hear about
those key phrases that we can say, people go repeat. You know that. That's how all things happen. Great politicians, they always have those words they say, and people repeat those words. Say them.
Part of the toolkit is culture. It's not just having the flyers.
No, to have part of it.
initial strategy team to take some of the thoughts that have been shared and put together.
That's what we were having up before.
Yeah, we're going to, next month, we'll have a day to do that.
We also want to know, are you planning to come to our conference?
I will be at the conference in Chicago.
I mean, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. What days could you?
I won't be there on Sunday because I have to get back to
you. Yes.
I will be flying back Saturday. Bob Petit asked me to do a piece on usury and faith religions or something like this. I don't feel that this is my expertise, and so I don't know about
it. Your Palm Sunday one is wonderful.
It's fun. It's fantastic.
It's really good research.
Yeah, but this is not really expertise. Islam, the position on usury and Islam, Judaism, this is not my expertise. I really just want to come and be around a group of great people like you guys.
And if you want to speak,
I just want to.
Well, we appreciate you hearing us.
How about this? This would be connected.
Continue and remember Stephen's legacy and I'm not so much.
Speech.
Yeah.
So that's why I asked when.
Unless it's the joke. You know, I can listen to Joe.
Well, I've joked to speak for 3 days. You know.
Oh, that's another question that we had. Do you feel like, I know Joe's been your go-to person. Do you feel like you need more than just Joe? Sometimes it's not good.
Our Joe and Janie tend to be people, when I meet with, you know, members of Congress, you know, I can talk to them. They've been incredible.
Okay. So you feel well supported?
So I mean, it's great to hear you say that you would like to be part of organizing sessions at AMI. That's what we were talking beforehand, and timing wise, at least our current thinking is that that would be Thursday afternoon. That's why I asked you for
more. Understand those specific disciplines to help organize them.
I wonder if we talk to Dorothy.
I was just going to say, I hear what you're saying. But I'm also wondering that I don't want to diminish Reverend Coates' skills and abilities in sharing with us. That includes the bylaw stuff. I mean, that may be not something you want to be part of. Get that. But at least structurally, what makes sense, how we can do this most efficiently based on who we are. Think about the arenas we need to talk about. Where is the internet, the inner, so to speak, that includes the structure.
I was thinking if we had like Yamaguchi, Joseph Huber, Michael Kumar, Nick Heedman, those four might. You could maybe get them coming or through the Skype and get them to. I bet they could put their hands around some. But they have connections. Tiedemann's in Europe.
I don't think it's.
I'm going back to Reverend Coates' idea of getting those classical economists.
Yeah, but that's not part of the organization.
I think of it from an organizing standpoint.
I think the conundrum we're in is a function of not having a strategic plan. Because the planning of the conference would be driven by the detailed plan. The strategic plan. And so I don't know when that's going to happen. And since the conference is so close upon us, but it could be incredibly beneficial. Now, I haven't been in any of the planning sessions for the conference, but it could be incredibly beneficial this year to spend the entire conference doing strategic thinking and planning and coming out of the conference with a plan that has been created after 3 days of thinking for this. That's what I'm doing. It seems as if the imperative before AMI now is developing a strategic strategy and plan, and I think it could be incredibly beneficial to spend that Thursday, Friday, and Saturday with a memorial or dinner for whatever for to remember Stephen, but to spend 3 days talking about it.
It's already locked in, though, right?
Well, no, it's not.
People are committed to present, but we say this is what we're working on, organizing with us.
Yeah, we've heard that we've done the talking heads thing for 12 years. I think strategic planning might bring more people in. They know it's a different gig.
Separated organizing from strategic planning.
Right? You can include all this together as part of a strategic. Like I said before, I was like, we can have 4 or 5 hours. I was like, that's probably the minimum amount of time. The time you talk about, that's really what you need. Usually when I do strategic plans, I'm doing them over several weeks for a few hours each time. So you do need, if you want to have a robust document, you probably need 3 days. There's no question about it, because there's a lot of stuff to talk about. What you would get with 4 hours is a shell that still needs to be filled in. Right? And so it's... But what I was going to say is that even though you have, I don't think you have to change it. There are ways to word tracks in a conference where it doesn't have to say come strategic plan with us. You can just say we're having a workshop on monetary reform in the media. That is organizing because it depends on what you're talking about. And if somebody's not necessarily there giving a speech, then you can hold people on what they think about how is the best way to do stuff. And so I don't think it's, to me, it's not a drastic thing to switch to an organizing conference instead of what you refer to as a talking head conference.
But is it a drastic thing for Bob, who's already put out the invite? Yeah. And people have committed. And people have committed
well,
to
what has he put out, though? Mm-hmm. You know what he's put out?
My understanding, who knows, that he's already invited up to 20 people.
Oh, to speak.
To speak. Right. And if people have already committed and got plane
right.
tickets,
but,
and
yeah, right.
these
but
are
have been
academics
a long time,
so who are going to do what they
normally came
do.
To be
yeah, but
to
if it's,
year.
Say, Tiedemann would switch over to strategic
yeah.
planning in a moment.
Yes, he wants to do that.
Yeah, he's right there.
What about the other 19?
Well, we always go through their names.
Okay,
go, yeah, yeah, some of them are us.
But
yeah.
it's us.
A lot of comments. Sue, myself, John, you, Joe, Howard.
What?
Yes, Howard.
Anybody else?
What?
Speaking at AMI this year? Reverend Coates? So the point is, what is the will of this group? And in our conference calls, this was already said, it just wasn't finalized. And, you know, it's maybe unfortunate that we didn't, you know, finalize it and how we've advertised the conference differently. But I think you're right that we should make it what we want. You know, I respect Dr. Coates saying, you know, we have to switch to online media. Frankly, I like being in person sometimes, and I need to be in person. And to figure out in this future, we've got to be in person. We've all marked off those dates already. Unless we want to plan another time we're all going to get in person, I think we should say, you know, the will of the group is that.
But that's not our goal.
No, actually, I'm sorry. What I was really going to say is maybe we can think about that and take the picture back up tomorrow or whenever. I don't want to say that because I wanted to get into the question of what's
yeah.
going on with the fundraising committee.
The other thing I was going to say was that it doesn't have to be either or. You can still have all those speakers and you can do hour-long panels at the beginning of the day, the end of the day, and in the middle
yeah.
you can do organizing. So it's not that they don't have to speak, it's just depends on what you use the bulk of your time for. And then those
yeah.
people can actually go
yeah.
to those organizations, they're gonna have something to add because even though they're researchers and they may not run those meetings, they're still gonna have an opinion.
I think something we do need to be mindful of is so far, Bob has, my understanding, done a lot of heavy lifting there. And he is new in that position now
we should
written, if you will.
And you know what?
Especially
yeah, no.
Sunday evening, I'll be with them. So, you know, from
you're
then on.
You're flying there directly.
Yeah,
possibly.
Well, I think so. Yeah.
And, you know, I think engage Mark in the conversation
yeah.
or Greg.
But I think we still have a point, though. We don't have to change any of the other speakers. They can speak. But we can change ours.
That's right.
So this eight speakers we have here or whatever can just speak what they want to do. And then the other ones can do.
Maybe who's
yeah.
left
yeah.
would
yeah,
be a day's worth. If what's left of people who had the, they were planning on coming and speaking, they can still do that, throw them all at the same day, might leave the rest of the room.
Well, yeah, we might be surprised how, there may only be a half a day.
Mark, are you in?